And you, as a child of God, you have been given a gift, some gift, whether it's a natural gift. And, you know, we've seen people this morning exercise the gift that God has given them. And, you know, we look at others who maybe can sing, or people who can, you know, do certain other things. They have certain gifting that they use that were God-given. Now, I wish I had the God-given gift to be able to sing. You know, I think it's something that God didn't give me the gift to be able to sing, because I'd act a fool, man. I'm being honest with you. I know I would be acting up if I had the gift to sing.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. My name is Charles Hart. Thank you for joining us for the start of a new series entitled Going for the Gold. So let's begin with the first half, A Firm Foundation.
Amen. We are starting a new series this morning. And it's entitled Going for Gold. We are in between the summer games and the winter games for the Olympics. And many of us had the opportunity to look at some of the summer games and see all that went on during that time. And those of you who are winter sports gamesmen, you are looking forward to the Winter Olympics that are coming up. So, you know, as I was off in August and just thinking about, you know, what I was going to preach, this topic came to mind, going for gold. And, you know, when we look at an athlete and we ask the question, why does the athlete compete? And just think about this. I meditated and I thought about, you know, why does a person compete in the Olympics as individuals? Why do they compete? And there were some analogies that I was able to see between the athlete and the Christian. The first one is the athlete competes because he or she possesses God-gifted abilities. The fact that somebody can run fast, the fact that somebody can jump a certain height, the fact that somebody can lift a certain weight or compete in a specific sport. They have been given a God-given talent. And you, as a child of God, you have been given a gift, some gift, whether it's a natural gift. And, you know, we've seen people this morning exercise the gift that God has given them. And, you know, we look at others who maybe can sing, or people who can, you know, do certain other things. They have certain gifting that they use that were God-given. Now, I wish I had the God-given gift to be able to sing. You know, I think it's something that God didn't give me the gift to be able to sing, because I'd act a fool, man. I'm being honest with you. I know I would be acting up if I had the gift to sing. But I don't have that gift. But some people do. And so it's that gift. You know what? If God is the creator of our bodies, then he is the one who gifts us with the gifts that we have. And so not only that, but then we can move over into the realm of spiritual gifts that when you get saved, the Holy Spirit brings into your life. And we celebrated today one of the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings. The Holy Spirit brings the gift of teaching. And so many people have that gift from the Holy Spirit. So people who are athletes compete because they have been given a God-given gift. The second thing is that, you know, it's one thing to have, it's one thing to have the gift, but you have to enhance the gift, right? If God has given you the gift, you have to enhance that gift. And how do you enhance that gift? You know, well, I mean, if it's a gift that God has given you, you know, you line up with his will, his purposes, you take that gift, you use it, you know, in a way that he can be glorified. You nurture that gift by reading the word of God, growing, praying, by doing things in the arena in which you have been gifted. And so it's one thing to have the gift, but then you got to enhance the gift. You know, and again, that's where you yield yourself to the Holy Spirit and you allow the Holy Spirit to kind of work through you. The third thing, and I love this right here. Oh, I love this right here. You know, every athlete that you see is flying somebody's color. And why do they compete? They compete to represent their country, to represent their country. Everybody that's in the Olympics are representing a country from somewhere. And so they want to do their country proud. And as we go for gold, we represent our Heavenly Father. We represent the kingdom of God. Did you know that? That as you strive on this earth to compete in God's Olympics, that you are representing the kingdom, that you are presenting the kingdom here on earth. And then the last thing that I, and there may be more things, this is as I sat down and just meditated on, you know, why does the athlete compete? This was like the last reason, and that was because they want to receive a gold medal. So let me ask this question. How many people do you think that are going to the Olympics say, well, you know what, I'm just happy to be there, you know. If I don't get any medal, I'm just happy to be there. No. Everyone that goes there, you know, has the hope of competing for the gold medal. In God's kingdom, and we're going to see that as I go through this series, that God puts before us rewards that we receive as a result of going for the gold in the kingdom. Now, I know there are Christians that, and every time I preach a message dealing with rewards, you know, there are some Christians say, well, I don't want a reward. I just do it for the glory of God. Right? You know, now, I understand. You know, I'm doing it for the glory of God, and I'm doing it for because I love the Lord. I understand that. You know, that's true. And that needs to be our first line of motivation, that we are doing it because we love God, and we are doing it because we want to glorify God. But the word says that God said he's going to reward you. Now, tell me, man. Isn't this something that not God only calls you to serve him? He not only gifts you to serve him, but then he rewards you for doing it. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And it says here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. That one day you are going to stand before Christ. Now, I tell people all the time, because, you know, there are some people that think they're going to stand before the great white throne judgment. And if you're at the great white throne, you don't want to be at the great white throne judgment, because that's for unbelievers. Now, I know there are some people that will try to argue differently. But when you look at it, Revelation 20, the great white throne is for unbelievers. But there's another throne that's for God's people. And it's called the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. And so the Bema in the New Testament was an elevated platform where judges sat on that platform. And they would watch the Olympic Games, and they would determine if they're abiding by the rules. That was one of the things that the judges did. And then whoever won, they would appear at the Bema seat and receive a reward or a medal or acknowledgement for what they had done. And so Paul takes that analogy, and he says that we all will appear before the Bema seat. We all will appear before the judgment seat of Christ. to receive the things that we have done, to receive an award for the things that we have done. And so we look at the athlete, and why does the athlete strive? The athlete does it because they've been gifted. You've been gifted. The athlete does it because they've enhanced their gifts. You look at some of the training programs of people going to the athlete, to the Olympics. Man, if you just go back and pull some of that up, how they've trained hard, and people have dedicated their lives to preparing to go to the Olympics, getting up early in the morning, working out 4 hours in the morning, working out 4 hours in the evening. They try to enhance that ability that they have been given. And then they want to represent their country, and then they are going. So I want to encourage you during this series to go for the goal. Don't settle for anything less. That you are a child of God, and God wants you in your service, in your life. He wants you to go for the goal. As we look at our scripture today, we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and the first thing we see is the foundation. Notice what it says here. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Christ is the foundation. Now, you have to determine how you're going to build on it. I'm going to be like Uncle Sam. You have the right foundation. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if there's ever been a time that you bowed your head and asked Christ to come into your life, that you have the right foundation. There's a whole lot of people that's building on bad foundations. You know people that's building on bad foundations. And we know what happens to bad foundations is that they crumble. Some people are building on the foundation of worldly recognition. That's going to crumble. Some people are building on the foundation of their wealth. That's going to crumble. Sad to say, some people are building on the foundation of false religions. There's a lot of false religions out there. And some of the people that are leaving the faith are going and hooking up with other religions. And they are religions that are built on a faulty foundation. You know, you ought to thank the Lord this morning that if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you are building, you have the right foundation to build upon. Right? You know, your foundation is not one on sinking sand. The songwriter said, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other rocks are shamrocks. You know what a shamrock is, right? Shamrock is, you know, something that's out on the water, right? Just like a little, looks like a little flower on the water. If you stand on it, you know what's going to happen? You're going to sink. You're going to sink. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And so I thank God that many years ago that I moved off of the foundation that I was trusting in and standing on, and I made Christ my foundation, and he is the firm foundation. In verse 12, it says, now if any man build upon this foundation, I'm going for the gold. I'm going for the gold, right? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, or stubble, that you have the opportunity to build upon this foundation, and you can build upon this foundation with gold, silver, or precious stone, or you can build upon this foundation with wood, hay, or stubble. And I'm going to talk about, somebody will say, well, you know, what does that mean, you know, to build on the foundation? And I'm going to talk about that this morning. I'm going to let you know that you have the opportunity to build upon that foundation. And we read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 12. There was a man, did they go to that next slide? The next slide? Oh, there you go. All right. I was waiting for that to pop up. Put a lot of work trying to find that thing there, man. Right? So you got the foundation, and on this foundation, you are constantly building. And what you are adding on this foundation And notice that you are adding to the foundation, whether it's gold, silver, or precious stone, or whether it's wood, hay, or stubble. You are adding to the foundation. And so one of the things I want to challenge you with this morning is what are you building with? Are you going for the gold, or are you going for wood, hay, and stubble? You know, I heard the story about a man who was struggling financially. He had a family, and you know, they were living in a house that was falling apart. But this man, actually, he was a construction foreman, and he built houses. And so this rich guy came to him and said, "I want you to build me a house." And here, he said, "I'm giving you a blank check to just use whatever you want to use to build this house." And so the man took the blank check, and he figured that he could cut some corners and save, maybe put aside some money for himself. So he didn't invest in the best materials. He cut corners where he could. And when he built the house, the guy who gave him the check for the house came to him, and as they both stood in front of the house, the man who paid for the house gave him the keys and said, "This is your house." Just think, he could have given the best. This man gave him a blank check. He could have given the best in making an effort to build this house, but he came up short. And I think that there's going to be many of God's people that stand before him. And again, you know what? Man, heaven is going to be a blessed place. The Bible says that there's not going to be any tears in heaven. The Bible says that in his presence is fullness of joy, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. So I have to believe that heaven is a joyful place. It's a place of rejoicing. It's a place of excitement. But I think for one moment, for one moment, that when we stand before Christ, not to be judged for our sin. Oh, our sin, not in part, but the whole, was nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Thank God, oh my soul, that our sin has already been dealt with. And the next time we appear for judgment is going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. And I believe that as Christ goes over our works that we have done, that some of us will have to, for that moment, again, heaven is a place of rejoicing, but I believe just for that moment, maybe a note of disappointment will come when we know that we didn't build with the best materials, when we know that we could have built a little bit better. Just for a moment, because like I said, you know, I believe that the overwhelming presence of joy and pleasure in heaven is going to supersede everything else. That's why, you know, people say, "What about memories? Well, I have memories of my loved ones and all this stuff when I get to heaven." Well, the fact of the matter is that if memories of your loved one is going to cause you to be depressed or bring you down, then that's not going to be heaven, right? How can that be heaven? If I, you know, people say, "Well, you know, I'm getting ready to get," man, come on, Pastor Glaze, you should have just stuck with your message. That's what you should have done. You should have just stuck with your message. You know, people ask me, "Well, is my loved one looking down over me, watching over?" Now, I know, send all email correspondences to Brett Taylor at Brett, what, seven? No. You know, man, just think. If my loved one is looking down at me and I'm sick and they're watching me in the bed suffer, or my loved one sees me doing things that I shouldn't be doing, you know, getting ready to commit a crime or get ready to, you know, do something that is not pleasing to the Lord, how is that heaven for them, right? I believe that God's going to have them occupied with so much other stuff that they don't have time to be looking down. You know, even with that said, right, I believe that, you know, just say your loved one prayed for you to get saved and you didn't get saved, maybe God might just pull back the curtain and just show them, you know. I don't know, but again, I believe just for that moment that God is going to, that person is just going to bow their head and say, "Man, I wish I would have did more. I wish I'd have did more. I wish I'd have added more gold, silver, or precious stone." And then Paul goes on to let us know in verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall test every man's work of what sort that it is. That everybody's work will be tested in the fire. Now, what are the works? The works are your acts of service in the kingdom. You know, what are your works? Your works are acts of service that you have done toward other people, that God is keeping record. Now, whenever I preach these things, I have to qualify it. You know, is there, when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, is there a big campfire behind him? And, you know, he takes all your works and he throws them in the fire. And the ones that are gold, silver, precious stone, that they come out. The ones that are wood, hay, stubble, they burn up. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't know if there's a literal fire that's going to try them, or if it's just, you know, God has a process in which we go through to test the works. I don't know. But I do know this, that I hope mine are made out of gold, silver, precious stone. Whatever he does, whether he sends them through a literal fire or whether it's this language is figurative, you know, I want mine to abide. Now notice that there are two types of works. There are worthy works and there are worthless works. The worthy works are the gold, silver, and precious stone. The worthless works are wood, hay, and stubble. And if you think about fire, especially as we look at it in the Bible, what's two things that fire does? Say it again. Purifies. Fire purifies. And so if it's gold, silver, or precious stone, it purifies it. The fire also does something else, and that is it consumes. And so if the materials are less, they will be consumed. They will be burned up. In 1 Corinthians 3:14, if you go to that next slide, it says, if any man's work abide, which he hath built upon it, he shall receive a reward. So here we see, if you put that back up there again, here we see your works, gold, silver, or precious stone, and they're going through the fire. God has taken all, you know, the song that you sang, the ministry that you performed, the service that you gave. It goes through the fire. Chaka Khan said, through the fire. Right? It goes through the fire. And when it comes out, it says, if it was gold, silver, or precious stone, that you're going to receive a reward. Now, again, these rewards that we receive, you know, is it for us to put on around our neck and walk around heaven and say?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the conclusion of A Firm Foundation. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, A Firm Foundation, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Firm Foundation. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Firm Foundation from our series, Going for the Gold. Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind that the entire series, Going for the Gold, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call us at 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or mail it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Charles Hart, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.